This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm your host, Chip August, and on today's show, we are talking with comedian and author Ian Coburn. And Ian is quite an interesting guy. He was actually voted the sweetest guy in high school, which he says you might as well like not have a penis if you got that label. but somewhere early in his path to adulthood, he decided he really needed to learn about women and improve his success. And so Ian has kind of gone through every male phase. He's been a nice guy, a player, a bad boy, a jerk, and sort of found his path into the nice, good guy that he is and still feel like he has a penis. In the end, what he found most was a much happier and balanced Ian Coburn. He shares all that misadventure and the lessons he learned in his journey in a best-selling book called God is a Woman, Dating Disasters. Some people have called it the New Dating Bible, and it's apparently available in several different languages, including Russian. And certainly the book has earned him recognition as an expert. He's a columnist in a variety of places, including Lifetime and The Bachelor Guy. And
Robin Williams said that the first 5 minutes that you're on stage, the crowd gives it to you, but then after that, you have to prove yourself. It's the same thing when you meet someone after a show. A woman can come up to you and start talking to you and think that you are just this awesome guy that you were on stage and so funny and so witty. But a lot of comedians, a woman could talk to Drew Carey when I work with him, and he just would shut down. I don't think he's like that now, but back then, this is years ago. And then the woman loses interest quickly because the confidence and the character is all just a staged thing, and that, you know, that just turned them off after they came up to you and talked to you. Men and women communicate very differently. They communicate through their actions over their word. So if what she says and what she does don't line up, then you want to heed her actions over her words. And I'll give you a really good example. I was out with a woman a couple summers ago. We played some volleyball, and before she left, I said to her, "Do not leave without giving me your number." The following Saturday night, she says, "I'm on a dating hiatus." And I'm going, uh-oh, this isn't good, because I'm on a take-a-woman-out-to-dinner-for-no-reason hiatus. I pay for the check. She doesn't offer to pay at all. So now in my mind, we're on a date. Now, she says that she's on a dating hiatus, but let's pay attention to the actions. The first mistake they make is they start talking to her and they're not listening to what she's saying. The second mistake they make is they follow the dating standards, and that is that they're just going to try and get a number and then leave it at that. So the third mistake guys make is they don't know when to call. They go through that agony of, oh, how long do I wait before I call? The fourth mistake guys make is when they go on a date, they're not prepared. So the next mistake, don't wait till the end of the date to kiss her. A kiss is all about the moment.
Welcome to the show, Ian Coburn.
Thanks for having me. Let me go ahead and read a little bit here for you guys.
That would be terrific. I just love just that beginning about, you know, why you call it God as a woman, you know, why. Yeah.
Sure. God is a woman. No discussion, no debate, no denial. She's a woman. That people challenge this notion is ridiculous. The proof is all around. If God were a man, he'd be the only one. There would not be another man anywhere. The entire planet would be full of no one but beautiful women. Blondes, brunettes, green eyes, brown eyes, big breasts, medium breasts, no small breasts. Full rotund butts, small tight asses, whatever was needed to fulfill his passing fancy. And none of them would have names. That way, he wouldn't have to worry about forgetting them. If God were a man, there would be no STDs and women wouldn't get pregnant. The only time there would be another man is on the rare occasion when God created one, so that he could hike up the guy to the top of a mountain to brag. God would point at all the beautiful women and tell him, "See all them? I sleep with all of them whenever I want. Bullshit, you do not. The blonde over there rolled me all night long. The redhead there woke me up with a Hummer while the blonde was still sleeping beside me. And you know what? I never have to wear a condom. Close your mouth. Then God would kill the guy, hike down the mountain, and bang a brunette. Yep, God is a woman, no doubt about it.
Okay.
The debate is over.
Yeah, I got it. You know, speaking as a guy who's part dog, I completely, totally, utterly understand it. So tell me, you're a comedian. Why did you write a book about, and not only a book about dating, but really a book about all the ways you didn't score?
I thought that was the best way to help guys that were in a similar situation to me. There's really a lot of guys out there, which I didn't realize. I thought that everybody went through the same growth pattern that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something kind of similar. In my case, I was voted sweetest guy. I grew up with a mother and two sisters and father never around, you know, divorced, that kind of thing. My mom taught us all that women hated sex, you know, so started out.
That's useful.
A little misinformation there. But that was her way of making sure she didn't have, like, six little grandkids running around, you
right.
know.
Before you were 20.
Right, exactly. So what happened is I went through this learning process. Started in college and really as I started doing comedy at age 18 and started this process and learned a lot of things, learned how to talk to women, learned a lot more about women, what they like, learned how to read them, just a lot of different things learned about myself. I thought everyone went through this process. And when I stopped doing comedy, because I was the road warrior, I was on the road, you know, one time 106 weeks straight.
Oof.
So, yeah, I didn't really have, you know, my basis for everything was comedy. It was my life. It was how I met women. It was my job. I mean, everything. And when I got off the road and I moved to a neighborhood in Chicago called Lincoln Park, which is just a very young area, a lot of 20, 30-year-olds out here, very hopping all the time. You won't find another city that has such a saturation of young people in one area. And I was shocked to learn that so many guys were horrible with women. Women complained all the time. And I thought, you know, I had a lot of people say, you should write a book because you're always giving advice. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to talk about, you get a lot of books on, oh, this is what you should do. No one really talks about where they got this information from. And how'd you come up with this? And why does it work? And I thought it would be better and more entertaining if I wrote a book of all my flops and various disasters, and then people could see, oh, that's how he came up with the idea, and that's why it works. And a lot of people who have read it have then emailed me and said, I've had that same kind of thing happen, so they can relate to it more, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is it humor or is it self-help?
It's both, which is why it's with a small publisher, not a big one.
Because right, it's not, it's not neatly packaged.
Huh? Yeah, they have to. They're like, wait a minute. I had a big publisher who wanted to pick it up, but they wanted to turn it into just a really rude kind of pickup guide.
Right.
And I felt that would miss the whole point of the book and kind of the story and the growth. You know, because I was a jerk for a while, and the message I want to get to people is being a jerk is not necessarily the best thing. How people use the information, that's up to them, you know.
Okay, now you say you were a jerk, and there's a lot of different definitions of what a male jerk is. What do you mean when you say you were a jerk?
Well, for me, for my case, I would say I always put my own needs and wants ahead of the woman's.
Mm.
And not just women, people in general.
Mm-hmm.
And that I did that for a couple years, and that was when I was at the peak of my jerk status.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of that total obsession with self.
It's all about me, baby.
Yeah, it's all about, right, exactly. just for the record, I don't actually think that's you being a jerk. I just think that's you being a child.
And yeah, that could be. That could be a better way to put it. For me, it was a jerk. You know, I'd rather think of myself as a jerk than a child.
I got it. But it is, right? You don't expect your kids to have a big compassion for what's going on for their parents, you know. But
right.
And I just notice a lot of men don't really grow out of that. They don't. They do stay what you would call a jerk. You know, they kind of okay. So somewhere in here, okay. So we want to clear some misconceptions first. You opened for some pretty big names. I'm pretty clear, at some point in your career, women must have just approached you because you seemed famous.
Well, you do have that happen, and it's a perk of being a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you have it happen doesn't mean that you're going to be able to do anything. I'll give you an example. Robin Williams said that the first 5 minutes that you're on stage, they give it to you when you're a big name. The crowd gives it to you. But then after that, you have to prove yourself. It's the same thing when you meet someone after a show. A woman can come up to you and start talking to you and think that you are just this awesome guy that you were on stage and so funny and so witty. But a lot of comedians, you know, Drew Carey was one of them. A woman could talk to Drew Carey when I work with him, and he just would shut down. You know, he might just, I don't think he's like that now, but back then, this is years ago, he kind of fidget and be nervous and that kind of thing. And a lot of comedians were like that. So, and then the woman loses interest quickly because the confidence and the character is all just a stage thing. And that, you know, that just turned them off after they came up to you and talked to you. You also meet a very specific kind of woman. You meet the woman that I call Trixie. And to me, a Trixie is someone who her friend's opinions mean more to her or to her than her own.
Right.
So she's the one who, like, you know, goes to the bathroom in groups, that kind of thing. Like, who's got the brain? Who's got the group brain right now? Okay, let's just talk to her, okay? And you tend to meet that kind of woman more as opposed to the girl next door type who tends to be more shy and doesn't want to approach the comedian. So it has some perks, but it also has some disadvantages because most guys will tell you they'd rather meet the girl next door.
Well, and I think there's a lot in your book about, you don't exactly use these words, but there's a lot in your book about just, like, listening, you know?
Actually, oh, yeah.
Yeah. That there's a, you know, that you have to actually pay attention to what the person's communicating to you. A person who just wants to know you because you're famous just wants to know you because you're famous.
Yeah, it's it does happen, and you do need to pay attention and listen and respond. That's a big thing, and a lot of guys don't get that because, and I used to be one, I was so nervous thinking about what I'm going to say next that I'm not listening to anything she's saying because I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to say next, and how's it going to be funny, how's it going to be like this, and so I would do that. But you're right, when that is a real perk because one of the hardest things to do is break the ice, and if the ice is already broken because they feel like, well, they've known you, that's what it is. They feel like they know you from being on stage for 15, 20 minutes,
right. And
that's who you are. And in my case, a lot of times it was, but, you know, that ice is already broken, and that is a big advantage because you don't have to come up with that opener, that witty thing. You do have that where they feel like they've just had a 20-minute conversation with you even though they didn't.
Right, they got a glimpse of you at least. Now, you have some definite opinions about pickup lines.
I do. I am not big on them. I don't like them at all.
Good.
The pickup lines is just, to me, that's what happens with a lot of people, a lot of guys, especially now, because there's a lot of advice out there for guys. A lot of it's on the internet.
And a lot of it's junk.
Most of it's bad. It's more about the guy who's giving the advice sounding cool and trying to be the cool guy that he wasn't in high school. And I understand that because for a while I wanted to be that guy. But you want to move past it. But what it is when you get comfortable with lines, you're not getting comfortable with women. You're getting comfortable with your game. And you want to be comfortable with women, and those are two very different things. So what I like to do is find the common denominator. And that's what I call it, is that there's always something that you're going to have in common with someone. Something in the room, something happens, something you both see, and you use that to get the conversation going. For example, I'm a big Eagles fan, even though I live in Chicago, raised here. When I was 7, I decided that the Philadelphia Eagles had the best logo on their helmet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm glad you agree. You're a fan.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm a NHL Sharks fan because I love the shark breaking the hockey stick. I understand this loyalty to logo.
It's just as good a reason as any other. and even better than I was born here.
Right.
And So I took that team. Now I'll be going to an Eagles game this Sunday. Obviously, we're playing the Giants. And that right there's my common denominator. Anybody at that bar I can have a conversation with just because we have that in common. We're here in Chicago and we're Eagles fans.
Yeah.
So there's always something, and even if worse comes to worse, and people can use this, but not in Chicago. One thing I've done, and I haven't had to do this in a long, long time, but one thing you can do is say something like, just, are you out celebrating a good night? Or like on a Friday or Saturday,
right.
Are you out celebrating a good week or trying to forget a bad one?
Right.
And that's something that everyone has in common because you're all out drinking. Now, once you say it once or twice, it becomes a line.
Right.
You know, but that at least is one that it's not intrusive and it doesn't sound stupid.
Well, I get that. You're not really saying it as a line. You're saying, look, here's a way you can get somebody to start talking about themselves.
Exactly. It's a conversation opener.
Right. We're going to pause for a moment here. We're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. And listeners, I really would appreciate if you would listen to these ads. The ads are created by my sponsors for my show. They help me bring my work to you. And obviously, if you can support the sponsors, that helps them support me. So I'd really appreciate it. I actually get credit for anything that you buy. So please listen to the sponsors. Also, you might want to take a look at the episode page at personallifemedia.com, where you will find several really good offers and some dollars off deals and all kinds of things. And I'd really appreciate it if you would support the sponsors while they support us. This is Chip August. You're listening to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Fresh inspiration and expanded relationship options for today's woman.
Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. We're talking to Ian Coburn, and we're talking about dating disasters. Well, we're not really talking about the disasters, but we're talking about Ian's book, God is a Woman, Dating Disasters. And when we left, we were talking a little bit about pickup lines and opening lines. You have some things to say about the distinction between when you listen to the words and when you listen to the action that I thought was pretty interesting.
Absolutely. One of the worst things, and probably why I was voted sweetest guy, and nice guys always finish last, is that men and women communicate very differently. And what women do is they communicate through their actions over their words. So if a woman's what she says and what she does don't line up, then you want to heed her actions over her words. And what happens is a lot of these nice guys, we go, well, hey, she said this, and that means that's what she means, and we follow that to a T, and then we end up getting burned later. And I'll give you a really good example. I was out with a woman a couple summers ago. This is the last time I've had a woman do anything like this. I met her on the beach, and we played some volleyball, and before she left, I said to her, very clearly, I said, do not leave without giving me your number. And we're having a good time. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm interested. I was very clear, you know, what my interest was. We went out the following Saturday night, and the first thing she says, we go out to dinner, and she says, just so you know, I'm on a dating hiatus. Not well, looking to date anyone, you know. And I'm going, uh-oh, this isn't good, because I'm on a take a woman out to dinner for no reason hiatus.
Right.
So this isn't going to line up well. So I paid attention. We have a conversation. We have dinner. Check comes. I pay for the check. She doesn't offer to pay at all. So now in my mind, we're on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Now she says that she's on a dating hiatus, but let's pay attention to the actions. Okay? She knows I'm interested because of the way I asked for her number. She agrees to go out with me. We have this dinner. I pay for everything. She doesn't offer to pay. So either clearly she's not on a dating hiatus or she sucks at it. So I walked her home, and on the way home I made a move. And 2 weeks later we were officially dating. Now see, a lot of nice guys would have been like, okay, paid for the dinner, said, well, if you change your mind, anything changes, let me know. And that would have been it. And I went through that a lot in college. A lot of times I'd go out with someone and they'd say, well, I'm really too busy to date anyone right now. And I just don't have the time to go on a second date or blah, blah, blah. And a month later or even a week or two later, I'd see him, you know, going crazy with some guy and ask him when I had a chance, hey, I thought you weren't dating anyone. And not only are they dating the guy, they changed their whole schedule so they could be in the same classes and, you know, walk together. No one ever changed their schedule for me. It was because I was paying attention to the woman's words over her actions. And then for women, It's the same thing, but it's the opposite. You know, I have a lot of women will write into me and complain, hey, I met this guy. He said when I met him that he wasn't really interested in dating at this time, but then he asked for my number a little later. We went to dinner a couple times, and, you know, we started to sleep together and date, and then, of course, I asked, where's this going? And then he dumped me and vanished, and I'm so hurt, and I don't know how this happened. Well, it's the same thing. With a guy, it's the opposite. It's pay attention to the words over the actions. What you told that guy when he said, hey, I'm not interested in dating, but then later asked for your number and you gave it to him, you just told him in his mind that you're okay with just hooking up.
Right.
You know, so that's where we really fall apart and have a lot of these problems between each other. And you have to kind of, you know, understand and put yourself in the other shoes and kind of understand how the other side communicates and communicate that way too, to some extent, so that you, or at least read it, so that you can be, you know, have a more successful dating life.
Now, I'm a parent of a teenage girl, so I want to make sure. No, it's okay. We have great conversations. She's pretty open and she's pretty self-revealing.
Are most of them in person or texts? I'm just
kidding. No. Well, we have a lot of we spend a lot of time IMing and texting too. Yeah, but that's okay. It's okay. You know, you got to be part of this century. You can't always be living in that century. When I hear you say that, I'm afraid some guys are going to hear the old women say no, but they mean yes. And I just noticed that that advice that I just heard you say sounds really good for like first and second and third dates, but sounds like really bad advice for having sex with somebody.
Yeah, that's not intended for when you're having sex.
Okay, I want that said out loud.
Absolutely not. That is, we're talking about reading people. We're not talking about in the bedroom what's going on, that kind of thing. So we're talking about relating and communication, conversation. We're not talking, once you get into sex and other things, you're talking about different things.
It's a more complicated communication.
Yeah, it is. It gets more complicated, and you need to. You know, I mean, you'll know when a woman is not interested and doesn't want to go further, and she'll state it.
Well, so, my, I think every guy ought to, every person that's being sexual ought to take on the, you know, like when a person says no, just believe their no in that moment.
Right.
You're welcome to talk about it, but when they say no, stop.
you bring up a really good point because there's a story I tell in the book where I almost date raped someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of the book is to be honest and give this information. And what happened is I met a woman, very, very attractive woman. I met her at a bar one night. We ended up coming back to my place. We had both had a good amount to drink. And I was in my, probably like 23, 24, something like that at the time. And we wound up back at my place. Things start to progress. And then she pretty much just almost falls asleep. I mean, she's lying there naked,
mm-hmm.
very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're both naked, and then she kind of dozes off, and I'm like, oh, well, what's going to happen here? And she's kind of murmuring, and I stopped, and I said, do you want me? And she said, yeah, but I stopped even though mm-hmm. she said yes, because I was like, this isn't right. And the other thing is that I wasn't going to get any pleasure out of it.
Right. Exactly. Having sex with somebody who's asleep is not exactly a high point.
Exactly. I mean, that's, I'll check that off the list. Woo! No, not at all. But it was very tempting. And I could realize that if I was younger, had I been 17, 18, 19 years old, I might have.
Yeah.
Because I had more experience now, and I realized, and I thought, is this date rape? And for the first time, because we all think that date rape is a situation where a guy deliberately tends to go out and try and have something happen that the woman doesn't want to have happen, or uses a drug or whatever. And that's not necessarily the case in every situation.
Yeah.
It was the first time where I could see, wow, I could see how a guy could be in this situation and have sex with someone, and she doesn't really have the ability to say yes. And at the same time, I've had a lot to drink where I'm not using the best judgment.
Right.
So your best thing you can do, especially if you're younger, you know, and I followed this ever since then, is once you've had a certain amount to drink, once the woman's had a certain amount to drink, don't bring them home. Don't go home with them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
right.
That's what you do. You stay away from that situation. Because I'm lying there naked, and she's naked. And I have to tell you, it was extremely tempting. So your best just to stay out of that scenario.
Okay, so I want to ask you a sort of a hardball question here. It seems like in the book success is having sex with somebody. Failure is not. Is this just a how to score book for guys, you know?
Mm-mm. No, it's, I mean, there are at times, and not about how to score, but at times it seems like that's what it's about. Because that's what I was going through. That's my learning, growth, and development. And I'm trying to show people how you could start off as a sweetest guy. And they say that if you throw a frog into a pot of boiling water,
right,
it will jump out. Okay, but if you take that same frog and put it in a pot of regular water and slowly turn the burner up,
right,
the frog will cook itself. It won't try to get out.
Right,
it doesn't realize the changes. And that's what was happening to me. I started off as sweetest guy. I went out there. I made a deliberate point of going, I need to get better with women. I need to communicate better because I'm frustrated. And I've had women, you know, email me or tell me that, hey, you know, I could see after reading your book the role that we play sometimes in some of this stuff, you know, because some of the changes I was making, some things I was doing was going, okay, well, I need to understand why this woman's doing this, and I need to do this as a counter move, and I need to, you know, realize that she's saying this, but I need to read it as this. It can get confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, for a while there, I was after sex. That was a goal, and I was trying to. The first person I slept with, because I graduated college a virgin.
Wow.
The first person I slept with, I wanted to be someone I dated. I wanted to be special, all that. And then I realized as I was doing comedy, that wasn't in the cards. I mean, who do you date that you say, hey, had a really good time? I'll see you in 22 weeks.
Right. Next time my tour takes me through town.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it just doesn't work. So then I went down a notch to where I was, okay, I just want it to be someone who I feel she's really cool. I feel that we would date had we had the opportunity. And one of the stories I tell in the book is I met this woman, and basically, to make a long story short, I got cock-blocked by a guy who was her friend, but knew her for like 3-4 years and never had the balls to make a move on her and tell her.
Right.
And he totally screwed it up for me. I mean, he tricked me. He did a really good job with it. And we ended up missing out on something that could have been very special for both of us. So in my mind, he's not a good friend. And then after that, I kind of went on this rampage against guys that were friends. They were, because it's always funny, the grass is greener. For them, it was like, wow, he's a comedian. You could talk to him so easily. She's interested in him. And for me, I'm going, wow, he's so lucky because he could date her because he lives here.
Right.
I can't, you know. So it really, the grass is always greener on the other side, really, is very truthful. And so I did go on this bit of a rampage. And then I was like, well, you know, the woman I'm going to sleep with, the first woman I'm going to sleep with, she's going to be someone who, you know, just I'm attracted to, and we'll just see what happens. And I don't even remember her name. I think it was Rachel, but I'm not 100% sure.
Mm.
How many guys don't remember the name of the first woman they slept with?
Not too many, actually.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. But I was, you know, in my 20s, and it's weird how that happens.
Yeah. We need to pause and take another break. Listeners, I could use you a little bit of help. If you would take 5 minutes and fill out the anonymous listener survey for my show, it would help me understand you better, and it also helps create some sponsor confidence and allows us to sell advertising on the show. You can find the survey at survey.personallifemedia.com, or you can just go to my episode page and you'll see a link for the survey there. Also, if you're liking what you're hearing, please send a link to friends. Tell people about the show. Let them know that you got some value from it. That's really the best way for the show to grow. I appreciate all of you who have done that already. I want you to know that last month I had my best numbers ever, and we'd like to keep growing, so please help us. Anyway, we're going to take a short break, listen to these messages, come on back. When we come back, among other things, Ian has an exercise for us to do. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at personallifemedia.com.
We're back. Welcome back to Sex, Love, and Intimacy. I'm talking to Ian Coburn. We're talking about his book, God as a Woman, Dating Disasters, and we've been talking about dating and what we're learning. What would you say the top five mistakes that guys make when they meet a woman?
Oh, wow. Only five.
Well, you could do seven. You could do three. Whatever. Pick a number.
I'm just kidding. I would say the first mistake they make is not listening. You know, they start talking to her and they're not listening to what she's saying. The second mistake they make is they follow the dating standards, and that is that they're just going to try and get a number and then leave it at that. I would say that when you meet someone, you want to stand out. You don't know if she can meet three or four guys in the night that she meets you. So what you want to do is instead of getting her number, ask her out to something in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if she mentions, you know, her favorite Italian restaurant, say, hey, I've heard that's, you know, a little later, you might say, hey, you know, I've heard that restaurant's really good. I haven't been to an Italian restaurant in a long time. Why don't we go there sometime next week? And then you get her number, and now you have a reason to call. So the third mistake guys make is they don't know when to call. They go through that agony of, oh, how long do I wait before I call? The standard seems to be 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to wait 5 days to build interest, you know, get her interested in you and all this. Now you have a reason to call, so you don't have to worry about that. The fourth mistake guys make is when they go on a date, they're not prepared. You know, a date is all about building momentum and setting the tone. That's what's going to make it fun. And if you show up and you say, okay, on the way to the date, you're going to stop and get cash at a cash station. You know, you get to the place you're at, you don't realize parking's bad in that neighborhood, you have nowhere to park, you got to drive around for 25 minutes looking for a parking spot. All these things take away from the momentum. So be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've called restaurants ahead to make sure that there's no, like, lodge meeting or some stupid thing. And the last thing you want to do is go to some restaurant and turn out it's, like, the drunken 40, 50-year-old guys.
Right.
There's 80 of them. And then the next mistake I would say, I forget what number we're on. But
well, this is probably the fifth one, yeah.
Okay. I would say that don't wait till the end of the date to kiss her. A kiss is all about the moment. And if you wait to the end of the date, there's all this tension and all these mm-hmm. issues, and it might not be the right time. Maybe mm-hmm. she steps into a big puddle right before you go to make your move. It's just kissing the moment. And if mm-hmm. you don't feel the moment, don't kiss her. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't have to kiss on a date. Mm-hmm. It might not be the right person for you, and that's okay. But try to kiss in the moment. You'll know when she feels it. You feel it. She feels it. That's when you want to kiss her. And that changes everything. And then another good thing is to set up the next date while you're on the current one, so no one has the agony of, is he going to call?
Right.
I don't know. How long do I wait before I call?
Right, right.
I think those are some basic mistakes.
Cool. That kissing thing, by the way, I have to say, I coach this to clients all the time. If the two of you, as you start the date, you look at her and she just looks so beautiful and she's looking at you and it just feels so sweet, start the date with a kiss.
There's right.
No, you know, like it breaks a whole lot of tension and it answers a question really fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But, it's great advice.
So what are the top five mistakes that women make when they meet a guy?
Well, I would say that women say that they do not, they're not realizing that the guy is communicating through his words over his actions.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the second thing is that they look to their friends too quickly to see what their friends think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, if you're talking to a guy for 15 minutes and your friends haven't talked to him, how can they really have any idea about this guy?
Right, right. If you go back to him and say, is he cute or not? It's like, yeah. Wait, they don't know shit about him.
Right. I don't like his shoes. really? Okay. The third thing is again, to realize that things like we are not our friends. A lot of times women seem to rate guys more based on who his friends are that he's with.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of who we're hanging out with, that doesn't mean that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if someone's a loudmouth or someone's dorky or whatever it is, that doesn't mean that we're big Star Trek fans or whatever.
Although I would say to men and women, you know, you are going to be judged a little by the company you keep. If you are hanging around men, you know, if you're hanging around with a bunch of rowdies that are saying rude things to people that come into the bar and making noise and stuff, you're probably going to be perceived as a rowdy who says
sure.
rude things. Women, if you're hanging around with a bunch of women that are completely just dissing everybody around, and you know, you're going to be perceived as somebody who disses. So,
sure, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
that's dumb. But if that's not necessarily the scenario, and
Right. If there's a range, don't assume you know something about the person just by seeing their friend.
Right. I mean, we're not talking about the extreme cases
right.
necessarily. The other thing is that when you're meeting a guy, realize that other guys are watching you. okay? Because a lot of times what will happen is women will be rude to one guy because they're not interested in him. And then that guy that they're interested in never comes over and approaches them, and they can't figure out why. Well, he just saw you be rude to some other guy.
Right.
And now he even if he still would talk to you and he's not nervous about that, but he might go, well, she seems kind of like a jerk, and I'm not going to go talk to her. That guy seemed like a nice guy, and all he did was come over and say, hey, how are you? And then she was kind of rude to him.
Right.
I'm not going to go over. So remember that you're not in a vacuum. Other people are watching, and if a guy's interested in you, he's probably going to watch you a little bit before he comes over to see if you're with another guy, and to build up his confidence a little bit before he approaches. And I would say the fifth mistake I see women make is they hold guys accountable for where they meet them. I can't help that I met you in a bar.
Right.
So you really need to be careful about developing weird dating rules. Like, well, I won't go out. I don't give any guy I met in a bar my number.
Right.
Even though you talk to him for 20 minutes, have a good conversation, then you go home, get on the internet, email a guy two times, and give him your number. It's like, wait a minute. You don't know anything about that guy. You don't know what he looks like. You know nothing. You need to be careful about setting up just bizarre dating rules and holding guys accountable for where they meet you.
Mm-hmm. These are great. These are all great. Listen, we're coming to the end of the show here, so there's a few things. One is, if people wanted to get in touch with you, if they wanted to learn more about your book or just learn more about you, is there a link? Is there some way they can reach you?
Sure. They can go to – I have a couple different sites. They could go to lunchisnotadate.com. That's my column. That will get you to the site. Also, godisawoman.net. And there's also, they can email me at iancoburn@hotmail. It's just my name, IANCOB as in boy, URN at Hotmail. But really, they can get all those things if they just go to lunchisnotadate.com.
And listeners, as usual, we will put that link with the episode page on the personallifemedia.com network. So if you don't remember, you don't have a pen handy, don't worry about it. Just go to personallifemedia.com, look for Sex, Love, and Intimacy, and look for Ian Coburn, and you'll find all this information. While you're there, please feel free, if you'd like, to send me some if you want to send me some feedback or some comments, if you have suggestions for guests for the show, I'm always interested. Just send it to chip@personallifemedia.com. I do read all of the mail that comes in. Ian, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I like to end the show with an exercise, something that people can do at home that might improve the sex, love, or intimacy in their life. And you said you thought you had something in mind.
Yeah, I would say really the big thing you can do is talk to people. I mean, when you're out and about, this isn't really something you could do at home, but again, we're talking...
This qualifies.
Yeah, okay. The target that I'm talking about tends to be people a little too shy, whatever. You need to talk to people. And start very simple. When you're walking down the street, and I shouldn't say talk, is communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Smile at someone.
Mm-hmm.
And see if they smile back. The chances are they will. You don't have to say anything, but you start working on these little things.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it when I go to, and I do it with men and women, when I go to Walgreens on the corner. I may joke with the cashier.
Mm-hmm.
When they used to have those little rats that danced up there.
Yeah.
Ninja hamsters or whatever they were. And I may comment, I'm just bored, so I might just comment and say, I miss the little ninja rats. When are you going to have like the singing fish, the ninja rats? I know you're bored because you don't have anything up here. And they're like, oh my God, I do not want any more singing, dancing. Get a little conversation going. And the only way you can do this is to get out there and throw the pitch and start.
Yep.
The other day I was walking and there were a couple women standing near a puddle. And they were a lesbian couple, actually, and I wasn't interested in anyone or having anything happen, but I'm bored. I wanted to have a little conversation, and I just said, okay, which one of you is going to carry me over this puddle? Somebody has to. And they laughed, and we started talking a little bit. Turns out one of them played volleyball. I play a lot of volleyball. I gave her my info. Now she's going to be playing volleyball with us. So you have to do these things. And I get nervous because nowadays so many people do everything online.
Right.
I'm going to meet online. I'm going to date online. I'm going to do all these things. You still have to develop these skills to have a good sex life and to have a good dating life. And if you start to do everything online, you're not developing those skills. So please get out there. Say hi to people. Say how you doing. Then as you do that, you get more used to it. You can take it a little further. Before you know it, you'll be able to talk up a storm and have a good conversation. Trust me, I was voted sweetest guy. I couldn't talk to a woman to save my life. Now I'm great at it. I don't have any problems. So really, if I can do it, anyone can.
I like to tell people, okay, so talk to five people that you've never talked to before every single day.
There you go.
Okay, and that's, you know, because people don't know, you know, how much, what, how do I do this? Great, here's an easy, simple thing. Start a conversation with five people you've never had a conversation with before. Could be somebody you've seen, but if you've never had a conversation with them, start a conversation and do it every single day. And my experience is by the end of a month, not only are you good at doing it, but you also have a lot of friends you didn't know you had.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'll meet people that they know. And
yep.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Well, Ian Coburn, I've enjoyed talking to you. I think you've been a really great guest. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And listeners, thank you for joining us again. I really appreciate your support. This brings us to the end of another episode of Sex, Love, and Intimacy. Thanks for listening, and please listen in again.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.